You know, Jesus, he gives us a lot of good things if we can just get a hold of them. The 11th chapter, the first verse, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoil. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh him 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the wound that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall be no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. If the light of the body is the eye, therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now there's a lot in the things that I read tonight. There's a lot that we could say. But you know, one of the things that is outstanding to me is where that he speaks of the friend that came by night. Jesus is trying to illustrate or get over something special to us here in the parable that he gives concerning the friend. First of all, he says here, "And he said unto them that even though it be a friend, you might not rise and you might not give unto him." But Jesus said, because of his importunity, if that individual will continue to knock and be persistent, then God said that he would give him all that he needed. All that he needed. All that he needed because of his importunity. Now, this is the thing that I see tonight. We are not persistent enough in the things that we want from God. Not persistent enough. Not persistent enough in the things of God. We want something from God, but we don't go after the thing that we want in a real way of perseverance. We grow discouraged. We're not willing to face the opposition that we have to face to be able to obtain the thing that we want from God. See, what God wants is somebody that will be willing to face the powers of opposition. This was something that God admired in the life of David. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart because he was fearless. He was a man that was fearless. He was a fearless person. A heart full of love that drove out fear. See, and when David went after something, he wasn't afraid. He had real perseverance. There, when all of the armies of Israel was at a defeated point, David came forth with faith and with courage. See, he wanted something from God. He wanted the favor of God. He wasn't afraid to face the opposition. And he went forth with great perseverance and great drive to obtain the goal that he had in his heart. And God loved him for it. And God believed in him for it. And God tells us to do the very same thing. Jesus said, because of your importunity, because you are persistent, this individual will rise up and give you everything that you need. And that's the way I believe it. I learned a lesson from God years ago. I learned that if I wanted something from God and I felt the powers of Satan trying to keep me from it, that all I had to do was just drive in and get it. God said, wherever you place your foot, I will give it to you. Is that right? Wherever I place my foot, God said he would give it to me. See, I don't have to stand back. I don't have to draw back. The Bible tells us that God hath no pleasure in them that draw back. Wherever I set my foot, God will give it to me. All I've got to do is just press forward. I've just got to have the right kind of drive, the right kind of willingness to go out there and take the thing that I want. A lot of times we stop short of what God wants us to have. Is that right? God has something for us and we stop just a little bit shy of it. And we get the feeling that God just didn't want us to have it. But that's not true. God did want us to have it. But the thing is, we never had the drive to go get it. That's where the problem is. See, what we need is some perseverance in Christ. We need to have the drive to go get it. God doesn't pervert a man in his cause. God doesn't try to stop us. When we're stopped, it's not God stopping us. Whatever this book has promised us, it is ours, and God will not try to stop us. Whatever he has promised us in his word, God will give it to us. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, what has God promised us in the word? Everything. The Bible said all things are yours. Whatever you desire, Jesus said, just pray and God will give it to you. That's all you have to do. It doesn't matter what it is. If you want it, just pray. But brother and sister in Christ, when the Lord said pray, he meant to pray. Not just to get out and say a prayer, but pray. He tells us in his word, he said pray always, pray without ceasing. He said to meditate in the laws of God day and night, watch and pray. We should watch everywhere we go, we should watch. We should watch everything we do, watch everybody that we are with. Watch everything that we think, watch everything that's being said. We should watch, like when you're driving down the highway in a car. You know what I do? I watch. I think like this. I say, now, God, I've got one life. This is the only one. I'm going to try to take care of it. My wife has but one life. My children have but one life. I'm going to try to take care of them. And I watch the man in front of me. I watch the man that's behind me. I watch the little side roads that's coming out to make sure that everybody is on their toes watching me. And I'm watching them. I'm watching the conditions of the weather. I'm considering the conditions of the highway. I'm considering my thoughts as to what I'm thinking and whether or not I am alert and whether or not I am awake and efficient at my job. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be with Christ. I believe when a man's got a job to do for God, he ought to be alert. He ought to be wide awake. He ought not to have a half-hearted attitude towards serving God, just doing it whenever it's convenient for him. Every time it cuts across his passions and his feelings, be always ready to lay it down. That man will never do nothing for God. No person will ever succeed in the things of God with a half-hearted attitude. You've got to get down to business with God if you're going to succeed in God. There is something we've got to do, children of God. We've got to awake from the dead, be about our Father's business, get up from our slothfulness, and get out there and do something for God. See, Jesus said because of importunity, because of persistence, when the walls of resistance did not break down in the days of Daniel, you know what he did? Daniel began to fast. Daniel began to pray. And the angel came down and said, Daniel said, I heard you the first day you called on us. Said, we was waiting up there and your prayers came through. Said, but I couldn't get down here to you. See, Daniel was a holy man. God had heard Daniel's prayers. God doesn't break his word. When God gives you a promise and you ask God to fulfill the promise, God hears you. God doesn't break his word. He doesn't alter his word. He doesn't change his way. See, God's got it ready for you. But the thing is, when the devil wedges war against you, when the great barricades of the spiritual world come about, then what are you going to do? Are you just going to lay it aside and say, well, it just wasn't God's will for me to have it? Or are you going to drive through and get it anyway? Old Daniel just began to ring the prayer bells of glory and kept praying, kept fasting. And after a while, the devils and the demons had to back off. God began to send legions of angels or whatever was required and began to drive those demons in the darkness back. And after a while, here come an angel sweeping down to where Daniel was. Stood in his presence and said, Daniel, thou beloved man of God, Christ has heard thee. And I have come from the presence of God to bring you glad tidings of great joy, son. Thou art greatly beloved before God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, the devil had lost the battle. Satan had lost the battle. Why? Because Daniel did not give up. Daniel knew his rights in God. Daniel claimed his rights in God. And Daniel stood for his rights in God. And Daniel obtained his rights in God. That's what's wrong with the government today. People know their rights in God partially, but they don't really know their rights in God. You know, to have a good government, the people's got to know their rights in God. They've got to believe in their government. And they've got to be willing to have the perseverance that if the government, that the dignitaries that's in office doesn't come front and center, that they will organize like a vigilante and stand there before the governors and before the president and say the word that we constituted says thus and thus. And we're going to have it the way that our forefathers put it. That's what's wrong in the church today. See, the people don't have a backbone to stand up for God. If the preacher preaches heresy, they just let it go by. They don't stand together. Where are the people that love holiness? What's all of this about? Isn't it about holiness? Isn't that what God said that He is the Spirit of holiness? Why then don't we stand up for holiness? Why don't we say holiness or hell? And stand up for it. Instead of saying, well, it's just a different church and they believe different from what we do. There ain't no different church. God ain't got but one church. There ain't a dozen different churches in the world. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't get rational now. Let everybody believe what they want to believe and die and go to hell. Somebody said, but the Baptist is not your business and the Methodist is not your business. But God said for me to preach the gospel to every creature. That takes in the Methodists and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and all of them. It's my business to tell them that it's holiness or hell. Just because they've got a name on the door, that doesn't mean anything. God didn't tell me that when I went down the road and I saw a Methodist church that wasn't any of my business. God didn't tell me because the Catholics are great and powerful, I ought to not tell them about Jesus. He said, tell them about the glory of God. Tell them what I require. Tell the Pope of Rome. And let him know what it's all about. Tell the doctor, tell the dentist. Tell the president, tell the governors. That there's but one church. And it's a glorious church. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. It's a glorious church. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. So then, what we need is perseverance. What we need is drive. What we need is importunity. Go back and look at the government. Only people that stand up to the government get what they want. Look at that woman that took prayer out of the schools. Because of her perseverance, because of her drive, because of her determination. Empowered by the powers of Satan. But she got what she wanted. Where is our people that will stand up for something like that? Where is our people that will keep the news media's hot and running? Saying, we're going to have it like God said it. Hallelujah. Somebody said they'll put you in prison. So what? Let's still do it. Amen. If they put us in prison, that's all right. They put John, Peter, James, others in prison. You know what? As long as you talk about this thing like it's some kind of a little religious team, you know. The blues and the reds. And the picnics and the parties. And as long as we don't trouble anybody, the devil isn't disturbed about that. Somebody said, I'm a good Methodist. That doesn't trouble the devil at all. But you just be a good Christian and see what he does. See, you say, Brother Pike, what are you saying? They didn't just cut those men's heads off for nothing. They didn't trouble the church for nothing. Those people stood up and took a stand. And those people were considered meddlers in other men's affairs. Amen. Hallelujah. Be it known unto thee, O King, the Hebrew children said. We're going to do it God's way. And people said, you better write a decree. Daniel's gone off on the deep end. You got him over the king's affairs. We better get something going here. Better excommunicate them Bethlehemites out there. And multiplying too much. Hallelujah. Multiply, replenish the earth. Hallelujah. Let's multiply for God. Let's testify for God. On your job, testify. Don't grumble about Bethlehem, but testify. Some old hypocrite will go out there and say, Brother so-and-so owes me $10 and so-and-so and so-and-so. You hypocrite. Go out there and say, well, I don't think they done me right at Bethlehem. You hypocrite. Why can't you testify of God? What's God ever done wrong to you? If you believe God's out here at Bethlehem, why don't you testify of Him sometimes? Instead of being a hypocrite and going somewhere and causing division among the brethren and picking out everything of the shortcomings of those that might be weak or some devil that might be among us and trying to reflect the character of God and His people. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's have a persistence. Let's do something for God. Let's stand up and let the world know that we love Jesus Christ and we're standing for God and for the right thing. That we're not playing a game out here. Somebody said, Brother Pike's just playing a game, you hypocrite. I'm not playing a game. You're playing a game. When you drop into the flames of hell, you'll find out whether Brother Pike's playing a game or you're playing a game. I'm not playing a game. I'm teaching men they've got to be born again of the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching men they've got to live holy and clean and upright. Some of you double-minded hypocrites out there, one day you want to stay at Bethlehem, the next day you want to move. One day somebody's doing you wrong, next day you feel like they're doing you good. Why don't you get out of the church? Get away from the people. You don't have any part, a lot in the matter. You're a hypocrite and your heart's not right with God. You're in the bonds of iniquity and the galls of bitterness. Get away from it. Let's have a real intestinal fortitude for Jesus. When you go out on a job, don't be a hypocrite. Don't do like that. When you go out there, you stand up for your fellow man and for your brother. If somebody say, do you know such and such out at Little Bethlehem that done me such and such? Say, I tell you who I do know. Brother such and such has never done nothing to nobody. God be with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't talk about the hypocrites. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the body of Christ. Lift up Christ. You love Jesus. I feel good, don't you? All right, so then when them boys began to stand up and said, look here, Herod, we're going to change the customs. He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's going too far. So that ain't all. We're going to change a fellow on the throne too. Old Herod like Saul, he thought, you done gone too far. I know you done gone too far now. Isn't that right? So he sent out his hypocrites. Said, you bunch of hypocrites, go down there and tell them you come to worship the child. Don't let them know what I'm up to. And as quick as we get a chance, we'll slit his throat. Come on, somebody say, I love Jesus. Ain't that the way they come to Bethlehem? I've had visions where they come here with hammers to beat my brains in. More than one time, I've seen men that were supposed to be devout men of God that came to beat my brains out. God shouted to me. In a vision, come to rob me, come to steal. The thief is a robber, he's a stealer. He comes to steal, destroy. Isn't that right? To tear down every great thing that God has ever done. He wants to tear it down. How many of you will join hands with me? Be a real soldier, a real Christian. Let's get up and be about our Father's business. And do something for God. Oh, hallelujah. Not looking back into Egypt. Not complaining our grunts and groans. Not resenting and finding fault. But let's be Holy Ghost filled people. Let's stand for the Holy Ghost. What the church world needs is the Holy Ghost. Not parties and dinners. Not man-made overseers and leaders. The people need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said it's not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You say, well, Brother Pike, they got the Holy Ghost. You mean to tell me that they've got the Holy Ghost and dress the way they dress and say the things they say and do the things they do? And the Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Word. And you tell me that's the Word when it don't agree with the Word. They don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, well, don't you believe they're Christians? They might be believers. But I've said so many times, if you believe the Bible said the devil believes too. That don't mean you're going to be saved just because you believe. Somebody said, all you got to do is believe. No, I didn't say that. That's not the way the book reads. A lot of people believe it's going to go to hell, going to burn in the fire. The devil believes, but he's going to hell. It said, he that believeth on the name of the Son of God, he that believeth on me, Jesus said, as it is written, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, who is me? The Word.
He that abideth in my word keepeth my word, and my word abideth in him. If you believe on the word, and the writer said, show that faith by obeying the word, honoring the word. And what does the word say? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man. Got a bunch of church reprobates. People that are in the church are cage of every unclean and hateful bird. But oh my, how wonderful to know that there's children of God. People that love Jesus. People that are walking hand in hand. That are not piercing each other through. That's not breaking ranks. That's not in love with the dollar and the things of this world. And the fortune and fame that they can get out of this life. Holy men. Oh, I like that. In the book of Revelation says the hour has come for God to reward his holy apostles and prophets. He didn't just say apostles and prophets. Somebody said, don't you believe I'm a prophet? You might be a prophet, but you might be a false prophet. It said his holy apostles and prophets. Amen. The saints of God. I'm talking about holy people. It said, be ye holy for I'm holy. Be righteous for I'm righteous. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Dress holy, talk holy, walk holy. Be holy in all manner of conversation. Hasting unto and looking unto the coming of the day of the Lord. When the whole world shall be on fire. What do we need? We need some perseverance. We need a little importunity. Say, Jesus, you told me I could have such and such. But Lord, I'm having a problem. I've run into powers of resistance. And yet you told me it belonged to me. You said all things are mine. And God is mine, and I claim it. You said if I decree anything in my heart, it would come to pass. You said, whatever I ask in your name, you would give it to me. You said, if any man say anything and believe in his heart and don't doubt, that man shall have whatsoever he saith. Who I like that. I feel something go through me when I say that. That man shall have whatever he saith. Say what you will, Jesus said. Have faith, and it'll be done unto you. It'll be done unto you. Just whatever you want. When the devil gets in the way, have perseverance. When a little pain, a little tummy ache, a little problem arises, don't quit. Don't shrink down. I've said this a number of times. I've seen the time when I couldn't get off my bed. I didn't have the strength to get off my bed. But you know what I did? I just rolled off on my knees and lay there. Just lay there like this, not having the strength hardly to raise up my head. I say, Jesus, Lord, you promised it to me. And you told me I could have it. And God, I'm going to stay till you give it to me. I said, I'm going to pray, Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil said, it won't come. I said, I'll pray again. And the devil said, it won't come. I said, I'll pray again. And the devil said, it won't come. I said, I'll pray again and again and again until it does come. Because he promised it to me. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel it. It came. It came like the sun shining within my strength. Oh, tonight I'm not weak, not run down. I didn't have to roll off my bed and lay there. I can get up. Strong, healthy, wide awake, ready to do something for God. Why? Because he heard my prayer. The song said he heard my humble prayer. Pray, my brother. Don't give up. You don't have to give up. Don't give up. Pray and talk to God. What is your problem tonight? I don't know what your problem is, but Jesus said you need perseverance. Stay with it. Don't give up. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's your healing, God will give it to you. If you want your healing, God will give it to you. If you need finance, God will give it to you. Somebody said, yeah, you got it made, old Brother Pike. That's why you can crow like that. Right now I need $10,000. Have you got it? Have you? Have you? But I'm still praising God. I still say God will give it to me. Because I believe Christ until He does. He promised it. And it will come. Somebody said, but what if it don't? But it will. Glory to God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, just suppose it don't come. What do you mean, suppose it don't come? That doesn't have anything to do with faith. Since when does faith say, supposing it don't come? I said it will come. God will send it. Hallelujah. Whatever you desire, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. God will send it. I don't know. Maybe Jimmy Carter will have to give it this time. Somebody said, wait a minute. The Bible said the ravens brought Elijah down. You believe that? Somebody said it wouldn't be a bit surprised if they didn't get it from Ahab's table. Amen. I don't know, but what the window wasn't open at Jezebel's and the raven went in and got her dinner and took it to Elijah. He can't prove he didn't. Got it somewhere, that's for sure. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? So then, because of importunity, my brother and sister, because of persistence, where is our drive to get little Bethlehem finished? Where is our drive to pray and fast and see the sick healed? Where is our drive to be holy and upright before God? Instead of being wishy-washy, always trying to pick the pieces, everything I say, saying, well, I don't know why Brother Pike says this, and I don't know why Brother Pike says that, you hypocrite. You know why I say it. What it is, I don't justify your black, evil, dirty ways. It's filthy with sin. You can't get it to fit your warped up foot. You know that little glass slipper didn't fit nobody but for the one it was made. Did you know that? Them warped up sisters tried their best to slip that crooked foot of theirs into it. But it didn't work. Amen, it didn't work. They shrugged and they pushed and they prized and done everything. But they was too fat with the world. It wouldn't fit. Prince Charming said, you ain't the one for that. Hallelujah. He knew it. He knew it when he first looked at him. But he just wanted to be sure. After a while, the little old maid came in. You know, if you work, you'll stay trimmed up. How many know that? The little old maid came in. And I know that when Prince Charming saw her, you know, as the story goes, his heart must have done flips, you know, and jumped up and down. And when he slipped that shoe on, though all of them ugly sisters kept saying, it won't work. Why, you know it ain't going to fit her foot. If it won't fit ours, you know it won't work out there for them Bethlehemites. Well, we're bankers and we're dentists and we're doctors and we're all kind of things. But nevertheless, it fit the little Bethlehemites' foot. Oh, hallelujah! I said the slipper fits just perfectly. It's the shoe of holiness. Does it fit your soul tonight? It's a straight, narrow way. But it fits. It fits. Hallelujah. Having importunity, having perseverance. Do you have enough perseverance tonight to drive into the Spirit of God, to drive into the things of God? Do you? Do you have enough concern that on a Monday morning when they need somebody to help out here, to come out here and be like the little maid? Do you? Can you be a maid for Christ and help the poor and the needy? Can you? Sick and in prison, you've visited me not. How many of you hope us to get that boy out of prison here a while back? How you help us get some of the boys out of prison? Some of you hypocrites, you go to ask you, I ain't got nothing to do with it. They didn't have no business getting in there. I think it'll do them good if they stay in there. I was sick in prison, but you didn't visit me. You didn't help me. It might do you good to be in there too. Did you know that? One time my wife told me, she said, it might do you good to be in there. And they put me in there. I don't know where it done me good or not. But it learned me I didn't want to be in there. Now, so see, we need to do something. When I say get up and be about our Father's business, we need to do something, folks. We got a request. Just recently, come in. Somebody back over here, one of the relatives of somebody that's in here, a little boy got burned real bad. And they need some help. And they've asked for help 2 or 3 times from the people of Bethlehem. And I told the brethren to get together and help them. And I'm sure that they plan to tomorrow night. I guess that's what they got in mind. But it come to me tonight that this will be a good night. Why wait till tomorrow night? This will be a good night. The job that they have over there, whatever, they don't have any income from it because the person that operates that little place of income can't operate it, having to stay with the boy. The boy's been burned. He's sick. What we need to do is to do something for them. Isn't that right? Do something for them. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I was so glad to know that some of you took the things you did out to the old folks' home. And those things over to the poor homes and gave it to the different ones in the poor homes. I was so glad. I was glad for the baskets that you prepared and bought and sent up yonder to the prisoners in jail. Did you know that the lady up there that's in charge, she said, why, this ain't never been done here before. Think about that. The big Baptist church, the big Methodist church, the Church of God, the Pentecostal Holiness, all of the churches are here. I've seen them. But she said it's never been done before in Monroe. Said, you're the first people that ever done it. Said, I don't even know how to conduct myself to tell you what to do. Said, because it's never been done before. But it's been done now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that little Bethlehemites are the only ones that God speaks to in Monroe? No. But I think they hear better than some of the others. Don't you? All right. Them sisters didn't like it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, they didn't like it, but Prince Charming, it suited him fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the way it ought to be, folks. Let's do something for Jesus. Let's be a little made for Jesus. Is that all right? Said, I'll pour out my spirit on my handmaids. Wouldn't you like to be a maid for Jesus? Let's do something for Jesus. Let's get away from all this showboy thing. Get away from all of this corruptness. Building big denominations and getting money and driving big fine automobiles. That's all right. God will give you 6 of them if you want them. But the thing is, let's use what we got for God and let's keep our mind on heaven. Keep our mind on God. Keep our mind on the poor. Keep our mind on the gospel. And let God add these things instead of running around like an old hound dog trying to figure out how you're going to get a new car, a new suit. How you going to take somebody in to get another dime or a dollar? Somebody say, I love Jesus. The Bible said the priests love gifts and gifts pervert judgment. Running around after every dollar, every dime we can like an old scavenger out of the bottom of the water. God said these things would be added unto us. Didn't he say that? You don't have to crook and hoodoo everybody in the country to be a preacher. Like somebody said the other day, and I don't agree with him at all. Said the Pentecostal people wouldn't support him. So he was going to the denominational people in the other bracket. Ain't that some calling? Ain't that some calling? That's some calling, ain't it? In other words, if you don't support me, well, I'll go somewhere else. I'll get somebody else. And they'll support me. Now they're going to live like the devil. But I said, all right, they'll support me. Ain't that something? A compromising bunch of hypocrites. Let me tell you something. On the TV and other places, there are men that God called to preach the gospel that is compromised on every corner to pay their TV bills and to get more TV programs and to have people around the nation praise them. It don't agree with the gospel. The Bible said they beat Stephen's head in, so to speak. Stoned him to death. They didn't take up $1 million for a TV program. They stoned him to death because he said, you're stiff-necked, bunch of hypocrites. We don't have to solicit. We're supposed to do what God told us to do. Whatever He wants us to do, do it, and God will meet the needs. He promised to meet the needs. Somebody said, well, I can't get Him to support my program. Well, maybe your program's wrong. Maybe you need to change your program. You love Jesus? He's like the 700 Club and the PTL Club. If they don't quit compromising, they won't have no program at all. I wrote some of them and told them if they don't quit compromising, God's going to wipe them out completely. God's tired of the hypocrites going here and there and distorting the gospel, turning people's hearts away to everything but holiness. Folks, this holiness is a hell. You're going to have to live holy. If you go in the translation, if you get out of this world, don't you know them people are going through the tribulation period? Somebody said, well, I believe God's going to take them into heaven. If He does, I'm a hypocrite. If God takes them people into heaven, you can say, I'm a hypocrite. I said, well, that show tells me where you're at. Well, that's what you wanted me to say, wasn't it? That's what you thought I was anyway. Them people are going to die and go to hell. People sitting on their program, Miss America and others, sitting there and painted up like a Jezebel, and you tell me, somebody said, now God looketh on the heart, Brother Pike. You lying hypocrite. Whoever told you God called you to preach? God looketh on the heart. He sure does look on the heart. And the first thing He sees in some hearts is a tube of lipstick. And it ain't long before it comes out of the heart and smears it all over the face. That's right. There ain't nothing but a cosmetic counter on the inside, and it manifests itself. Has a long ways from the manifestation of the sons of God, ain't it? Paint up like a clown. They do that to people in bomb because they're dead. That's why Jesus gave them the cosmetic counters. They're dead. They have to do something. You know why you like them kind of people? Because you're one of them. That's why you like them. You know why you defend them? Because you're one of them. That's why you defend them. If you clean your heart up and get the garbage out, you wouldn't be kin to them. But they're your relatives. That's why you go to bat for them. They're not my relatives. They're not my relatives. I'm not kin to the flesh. I'm born of the Spirit. My relatives are those that are in the Spirit, not those that are in the flesh. Can't you just picture Mary that bore Jesus saying, I wonder where the nearest cosmetic counter is. I'll go over and I'll get Elizabeth. And she probably knows. Can't you just picture that? When Paul said, when you adorn yourself, ladies, let not it be the outward adorning of the putting on of gold and the wearing of apparel, but the inward man to the heart, meek and lowly, dress as becometh holiness. Adorn yourselves with sobriety and shamefacedness. Can't you just picture a shame face all painted up like a clown? A woman comes in and she's got got her face painted up like a clown, and she says, I'm following the Bible rule. I'm shamefaced. Can't you just picture that? Don't you know that God ain't got no part in that mess? That's what it is. It's a mess. I don't care if it's on PTL Club or 700 Club or in the Sears and Roebuck's catalog. It don't make any difference. It's a mess. And God don't have nothing to do with it. He don't have nothing to do with that. That's not holiness. Let's clean up from the world. Now, I might say, well, I don't see where it hurts to paint your face a little bit. No, and you don't see where it hurts to suck on a cigarette a little bit. Do you? You don't see where it hurts to have a few woman preachers. And you don't see where it hurts if they wear their pedal pushers and pants in the church. And you don't see where it hurts if y'all have a little fellowship together when the husband ain't there. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You don't see because you're blind like a bat. The blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's corrupt. God's going to burn it in hell. What we need to do is be holy, my brother. Be holy, my sister. You say, but I'm trying to get my sister in. Well, I'll tell you what, you better do a better job in what you're doing. If you drag her in that kind of condition, God will throw her back out. So you don't want to drag her in that kind of condition. How do you think of it coming to drag an old dead dog, an old dead cat out of the alley in here? How are you just going to sit around and look at it? Wouldn't some of you men say, Brother Pike, excuse me just a minute. And you'd drag him out, wouldn't you? Is that right? You ever heard of an alley cat? Twice dead and plucked up by the roots? Hallelujah. You love Jesus. Somebody said, you're a strange sort of a preacher. But you, they wrote about me in the book. Hallelujah! I got a lot of relatives in here. Dresses becometh wholeness, children of God. Let's love one another. Let's love one another. Let's do something for God. I remind you of this again just before I close here. The Bible said to do something for the poor. And then your health will return unto you speedily. Take the poor, the naked, the cast out into your house. And help the needy. And then shall your light break forth and people shall see it. Then the Lord shall say, here am I when you call. He shall answer even before you call. But let's do something for God. I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. Someday they might do something to me. But I'm having a good time before they do. People who spend all of their time with their relatives, whether it's sinful people of the flesh or natural relatives as far as family ties, have the love of the flesh and the love of the relatives. And they have not passed from death unto life. They have passed from their abode over to the relatives. But the man that loves the brotherhood, that loves God's ways, are interested in winning souls and making a sacrifice for God and being with the brotherhood to fellowship the brotherhood, they pass from death unto life. They'll never come into condemnation. I made the statement today, I love the brotherhood. Brother Gerald the other night said, I must have got born again. Said, I love the brotherhood. Said, I don't find fault with all them fellas I've been finding fault with. Said, I even love Brother Taylor now. I love the brotherhood. I love to be with them. My wife has trouble keeping me at home. I said, Benny, I'll be back in just a little bit. She said, don't tell me that. I said, well, I'll try. See, I love the brotherhood. I love to be with them. I love to share the enthusiasm. That's how I know I got the love of God. I don't love to go visit with my relatives and always being going to see my mama. I can't go see dad now. He's passed on. Go see my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle. I will not say this. I'll have to shut up in a few minutes. I better not say that. How have you loved Jesus? All right. So it's wonderful to be a Bethlehemite, isn't it? Bethlehem means the house of bread. Now, I love you. I do love you. I do love you. And I know you love one another. But folks, let's love indeed. You say, how can I love indeed? By being around your fellow man sometimes and helping, doing a little something, being a little concerned. Get your mind off of your relatives. I don't think there's anything in the world that stinks more in the sight of God than a bunch of people that's got to have a family reunion every few days. I'm telling you the truth. God said, Abraham said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, son. Get on out of here. Get on away from here. Get thee out of the land of thy kindred. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why is it that God keeps telling you to go visit with yours? We can have a special day here. New Year's, Christmas, whatever. Somebody say, well, I say, well, we're having something at church. Well, praise the Lord, I'm going to visit with my relatives. I know you don't like me. That's why they stoned Stephens. Said, Abraham, get thee out of the land, thy kindred. I'll make a great nation of you. Every place where you ever find God doing something great for somebody, like Moses, Abraham, whatever, he gets them out of the land of their kindred. Then he does something for them. It's good to love your mother. It's good to love your daddy. It's good to love your brother. It's good to love your sister. But it's good to love God first of all. It's good to love Christ first of all. Put God first. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then add daddy and mama. Then add brother and sister. I preached this morning, I've come to send a sword. He that loveth brother and sister more than me, he can't be mine. He can't be mine. Get out of the land of thy kindred. Get your mind out of the land of your kindred. And let's do something for God. All right. I love you, but the child is known by his doings, and I know by your doings that you've not been born again. And I know that you're not of me and you're not of the brotherhood. I know that. Jesus said if you was of me, you'd love me. But I know you don't love me. You don't love my father. You don't love my brothers. They said, Jesus, your mother wants to talk to you. He said, who's my mother? Come on now. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I saw you jump the track a while ago. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. This is the road that leads to home. Hallelujah. Jesus said, who is my mother? He said, your brethren's outside, so they want to talk to you. He said, who's my brethren? Who's my sisters? He said, I belong to the household of faith. Come on now. What do you belong to today? If your mother came up out there tonight, if your mother rolled up to your house tonight, and they said, your mother wants to see you, would you turn around to somebody and say, who's my mother? Say, I'm busy preaching the gospel. I ain't got time to go see about my mother. Somebody would say, your mother's dead, your dad is dead. Let the dead bury the dead. I got to preach the gospel. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike. Like somebody not too long ago, I couldn't come home. I was down in Mexico preaching. Dad was dying. He sent for me. I said, I can't come. I said, but he's spitting up blood. So he won't last but a little while. I said, I can't come. I went in the back room and I wept. I prayed. Prayed for Dad. I said, I can't come. Daddy mustered up enough strength, said, ain't no need to call for him, said he's not going to come till God gets through with him. When God got through with me, closed the meeting out, I came to see him one time. I got in just in time to see him one time. Before I could get back the second time, he was dead. But God kept him alive that long. See? What I was doing was more important. My dad was a sheep that was already safe in the fold. I wasn't worried about daddy. Somebody said, but you're going to lose daddy. I haven't lost him. Me and him together all the time. We're more together now than he was when he lived in a little house down here. We're one spirit now. Where I go, he goes. We stay together all the time. You understand what I'm saying? But them poor folks down there, some of them was dying and being lost. Had to leave the 99 to go look for the stray. Went down to somebody else's place. Same thing happened concerning the daddy. Somebody came out to me and said, I'll have you to know that's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Well, I couldn't deny that. That's my own blood. See? But it's a little different with me. I'm flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. I'm of his blood. I'm of his family. That's what made the difference. My dad was my brother. I won him to the Lord. Right there you get confused as to whose dad he is. See, he was my son in the gospel. I won him to God. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. I appreciate you tonight. I don't believe that your vision is strong enough. I don't believe that your enthusiasm is radiant enough. I feel like you need to get up and do something for God. I feel like your mind is on you. The Bible tells us to look on the things of another, esteem others better than ourselves. Seek the welfare of others rather than our own welfare. Quit worrying about your bills and start worrying about mine. That didn't set good at all, did it? You know what my bills are? My bills are God's bills. Start worrying about your brothers. Think about what you can do for your brother. You say, well, my brother ought to go to work. I agree that some of them ought to go to work. If you don't work, neither shall ye. But some of them are not able to work. Some of them have problems. They need help. Just like the case I was speaking of a little bit ago, they need some help. I can see already there's one or two in here that they think I preached to them tonight. They've got it in their mind for sure. I can tell already, picking up. Yes, you was preaching to me tonight. That's true. I believe that's why the Lord brought you here. I have to make a confession. But I love you. I said something this morning. I don't know just exactly what I said, but I said something. The brother came to me today and said, that sure did help me. That's the right attitude. That's the right spirit. If God brought something home to you, say, thank God for it. Somebody brought me a big old chunk of cake down yonder. I wouldn't tell them I didn't want it. So just bring it on in the kitchen. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, children of God. I love you tonight. I love you tonight. And I want to do something for you. And I'm trying my very best to do something for you. The rogues and the parasites have tried to infest the tree, and God's had to let a winter time come in and the dying out of Brother Branham and other great men of God to kill out the parasites before they kill the tree. Every devil and demon has come in to make a dollar to prey off the sheep of God, to turn it into some kind of gimmick of selling handkerchiefs and holy water and everything else. See, our brother nodding his head. He knows that's true. And the poor sheep, nobody cares for them but the good shepherd. Don't you want to be a member of the body of the good shepherd tonight? How would you like to start a good shepherd club out here? Hallelujah. You say, who's going to be at the head of it? Jesus. Say, well, how can I join it? Be baptized into it by the Spirit. You can become a member of the Good Shepherd Club. Isn't Jesus wonderful? You know why we got a bunch of reprobate boys and girls that's dope addicts running around taking trips? long-haired hippies. You know why we got them? The Bible said that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. Isn't that right? They've hatched off a bunch of cockatrices. But if we'll do right, live holy, we'll see them children chop that old long hair off, them boys, and look like a man again. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. We'll see them chop that stuff off and get straightened out. We'll see them young girls get out of slacks and pedal pushes and begin to dress like a lady. Burn up them mini skirts and all that kind of stuff. Stop painting up like a lizard. Try to look like a human being. And the first news you know, they'll be coming to the altars and serving God, and mom and daddy will be glad. But as long as mom and daddy's necking and having petting parties and everything else, you're not going to convince the children there's anything decent. I'm always reminded of the little foolish thing. The man said, if I couldn't have any confidence in my dad, said, I'll never have confidence in anybody else. Lied to me about a Christmas fable called Santa Claus. And the man died with cancer, as far as I know, and went to hell because he said he learned his daddy lied to him. Them that love and make a lie, I'll turn them over to a reprobate mind, let them believe a lie and be damned. They love and make a lie. Not only do they hatch up a lie about Santa Claus and something else, but they magnify it and go to great expense to make a lie. And look at you like you're some kind of a foreigner or some kind of a heathen if you try to tell them or their children the truth. People have gotten in such a condition until if a man's sober, a man's got good sense, if a man's thinking upright, while they think he's some kind of freak, they've loved and made a lie so long, they've got to believing that that's the right way of life. And they feel like you're crushing their world. And that's true, you are. Jesus said you're of your father, the devil, and your world is a lying vanity. And when you tear down the lie, your world does pass away because it's a lying vanity. You love and make a lie. That's all you live for is a lie. But I'm glad there's the world of truth. Hallelujah. And I'm glad there's children of truth. A world that will never pass away. Let's help win them to God. Let's tell them about Jesus. Oh, listen to me, you little stack of bones. Listen to me. That's all you are, is a little stack of bones. You might have more hair than I do, but give it time. You might not have any wrinkles tonight in that little slick face of yours, but give it some time. And you'll wither up like a prune, and they'll put you in a box, throw the dirt in your face. That little computer of yours is spinning around like a top up there because you got a year in college. That don't mean nothing. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, you're heading for a 6-foot hole somewhere. Somebody's going to throw you in it, big or little, smart or ignorant. You all going the same route. But there's a God somewhere that loves you, and He don't want to see you perish. And He wants to take that little frail body of yours, and He wants to make it into something great, mighty, and eternal. He wants to take that little old twisted up mind of yours from the tree of knowledge and clean it out and purge it and turn it into a radiant light of divine wisdom and understanding, to where you can have the abundance of joy. Jesus said, joy unspeakable and full of glory, health and happiness and riches and power eternally. That's what God wants you to have. Don't you love Him tonight? Everyone that dies and passes off the scene, it breaks God's heart, folks. It breaks God's heart. Every little boy or girl, every man or woman that perishes, it breaks God's heart. He can't replace you. You're too precious to Him. Don't be a foolish person. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee, I need Thee now, sweet Jesus.
Oh, how I need thee. Sing it with me like this. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Just let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to my Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. Now while we're singing, I want you to gather around the altar for just a minute while we're singing tonight. I didn't ask you to gather around this morning, but I want you to gather around. If your heart isn't right with God, come on down. If your heart is right with God, come on down. It's all right. You've got to keep breathing. You've got to keep living. If you're going to keep breathing, you're going to keep living. That means you've got to have God's favor. It's God's life. It's God's life, my brother and sister. It's God's life. You've got to have God's life. If you're going to keep breathing, so come on down and give God a chance. Give God a chance. Be like the prodigal. Don't keep eating out of the garbage can. Turn away from the things of the world. And let's find something good. Turn to the Lord with all of your heart. The Bible tells us that they that are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll heal their lands. Jimmy Carter's not the answer to our problem. The Bible said in that day, no man shall save them. Education is not the answer to our problem. Having prestige is not the answer. Atomic war powers is not the answer. Christ is the answer. What we need is Jesus. He's the one that put this world together. He's the one that knows. He's the one that understands. I ask you this question again tonight. Sins is how we've already encircled the globe, comprehended the breadth of the earth. Sins is already that they have gone up, the astronauts, into outer space. Sins that already they've gotten so far away from earth they can look back and see it as a ball. And then they've learned that neighboring planets and stars are billions of miles away. Where do we go from here? If we leave the earth's surface, where do we go? Somebody said, but I'm planning to stick around, Brother Pye. But God's going to blow the thing up. Then where are you going to be? If you leave it, where are you going to be? Scientists have already said that even that ship that they're sending to Mars, after it gets on out there and millions of years from now, comes over to Pluto and it passes on, they say it's headed out into eternity. Where's the bottom out there? Where's the top out there? Where's the sides of it? What's going to happen to our mathematics, our geometry? What's going to happen to our little computer up here?
is going to go wild. Our little measuring stick won't reach the walls. It won't reach the bottom. It won't reach the top. What are we going to do? Somebody said, well, you're in the same boat. No. The Bible said we can comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width, and the length. We're searching for a city that's got foundations. 12 beautiful jewel foundations with the name of the apostles in them. A city with foundations. This world don't have any foundation. It's just a ball floating around. But I know about a city that's got a foundation. It's anchored in God. It isn't going to just drift here and there. What are they going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going into the bottomless pit of infinity, ever learning and never able to find the bottom. That place don't have any bottom. They're in their minds. They're transformating. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. They're transformating in their minds, and they're moving out into realms they don't understand. They're leaving their boundaries of earth. They're leaving the gravitational safeties of earth. And they're excelling, and they're going out there in their minds, and they're going crazy, having to put them in insane asylums. They're losing their mind. They can't understand anymore. It's that world of darkness. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light, from the old tree of knowledge to the mind of Christ. That world is the world of darkness. There's no bottom to it. It's an intellectual infinity that men sink into as a great abyss and can't get out of it. A deep, dark hole of despair. A fornication and adultery, lasciviousness and lust, covetousness, hunger and thirst for the belly and the things of this world and for sex. All pushed off into the garbage hole. You can't find the bottom. Brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Jesus called them swines and dogs that return to their vomit and their wallowing in the mire. But you are sons and daughters of God. You're gods, Jesus said. Made to live forever. A mind that can comprehend eternity, knowing where you come from and knowing your origin and knowing where you're going and knowing what you are and what you shall forever be. Eternally rich and alive and radiant with youth and health, with strength and with power, with understanding and wisdom and magnificence. The glories of eternity are yours, and you belong to God. Isn't that wonderful? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, he didn't think it was robbery to be a member of the body, the head. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. Isn't that right? Let's lift our hands up, children of God. Solomon said, who can speak to so great a people? You remember what I'm telling you. I know it sounds strange to you. The Bible said, I'll make all the world come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. God shall suddenly appear within his people. And they'll glorify Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all of them will have to come to you. And the Bible said, to the great brightness of your wisdom. They could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. His face shone as an angel. You're the temples of the living God. The Holy Spirit walks in you. He tabernacles in you. The revelation said the tabernacle of God is in the earth. John said, I saw it, the tabernacle of God in the earth. You're the tabernacle of God tonight. You're in the earth. The world doesn't see you. They don't recognize you as the tabernacle of the eternal God, but you are. You're the tabernacle of God, and God will tabernacle in you throughout eternity. Let's love Jesus. Let's excel in the knowledge of God. Let's lift our hands, close our eyes, and worship Jesus together, can we? Father, tonight by faith we can hear 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands in heaven and earth and below the earth saying praise and honor and glory to your wonderful name. Father, tonight I ask of thee, O God, Lord, to do something for my people tonight. Father, let their faith be elevated tonight. Let their faith be lifted up tonight. There's people that need healing tonight. There's people that need repentance. There's people that need freedom from evil's powers and spirits. Let them lift their hearts up tonight, Jesus. Oh God, let them lift their hearts up tonight. Let them lift their faith up. Father, I don't feel the faith among the people as it ought to be. Help them to get their minds on the Holy Spirit and lift their faith up to the Holy Spirit tonight, that they can be healed. Father of heaven, tonight, I feel your mighty power. I feel your mighty anointing. I feel your mighty quickening. I ask thee, Holy Father, in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, tonight, in his behalf, O God of the blood atonement, I ask you to heal tonight. Every person that needs healing tonight, Father, not only here, but wherever, God, that faith is offered throughout the world, let them be healed, Jesus. Let them be forgiven, O God. Let everything be taken out of their lives that's unlike Jesus. Let there be salvation, and let there be healing, and let there be deliverance. I ask in the lovely name of Jesus tonight that you'll do something special for these people here tonight. Bless them in their financial stride of life. Make a way for them. Save their children, their loved ones. Watch over them. Keep them saved. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus or two, and then we're going to let you go. Let's sing that little chorus, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord," and leave it there. Go, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me again. Just go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? Go leave it there. Can you leave it there? Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, Jesus Christ will lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. You know, tonight some of you have problems tonight. I can feel the infirmities of your hurt tonight. Christ is one that's touched by the feeling of your infirmities tonight. God will work it out. You say, Brother Pike, it can't be worked out, but it can be worked out. Decree a thing in your heart. Don't doubt. Now's the time to prove God. It's when you go through the crisis, that's the time you can prove God. You say, but that's the hardest shaking time. It was a hard time for the Hebrew children. It was a hard time for Daniel. It was a hard time for them that passed through the dark age. But when are you going to prove God? Isn't it while you're in the valley? But oh, my brother, my sister, what if you do hold on? What if you do believe? What if you do make it through? Just supposing it does happen, think of the rejoicing. Think of the testimony declaring before the people that cries to the present help in the time of need. Oh, what a testimony for the deliverance of mankind. Oh, it seems shaky, but its foundation stands sure. If you've got a problem, God will lead you out of it. God will lead you out of it. Don't be sarcastic. Don't be sarcastic. I feel some of your spirits sometimes coming in so sarcastic. No wonder God don't lead you out. Let's sing it again and have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love, the Spirit of faith. Can you sing it? Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there.